see you. I pity the poor person that has to preach the scripture. It's a good one, and there's a lot there. We'll get to some of it. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, God. So I'm not really a fan of walking just for the sake of walking. I don't find it invigorating nor calming. It doesn't, and if it doesn't get me where I want to go and is without purpose, then I'm just not interested. Of course, people tell me, it's good exercise. Well, I'm reluctant to admit that I don't particularly like exercise either. I don't know about you, but when there's something worth walking for or to, I am willing to go there and walk to the activity. As many of you know, I'm an avid seashell hunter. And when there are shells on the beach, I will continue to walk to just one more shell patch. I see a shell patch up there. I don't want to miss a treasure. But here's the rub. I have to go back. And while it's still fun to relook in those patches, I see if I missed anything. It's also sometimes daunting to see how far I walked and how far it is to go back. Go back to where my stuff is. This image of beachcombing is kind of like how Lent can be sometimes. We go forward with a goal filled with good intentions, and we don't necessarily think about where we're going or why we're going there. We just know that we are seeking something, some unexpected treasure. I know my favorite way to find a shell, a nice shell, is to be walking along and have the wave come in, and it, rolling in the wave is this beautiful whelk. And as I feel like God's speaking to me, here's a gift for you. So, looking for unexpected treasure. And it's when we turn around and start the way back that we realize how far we've traveled in our Lenten journey, and we realize what we have accomplished. We have walked a Lenten journey, and now it's almost time for us here now to turn around and return home. When we get there, back to our starting place, we can assess how far we went. That's something that I invite you all to do, especially on Good Friday. How far have you gone? While journeying with Jesus, we walked with him from the stable. We walked with him to the cross, and it's time to put the stuff that we don't need anymore or don't want anymore at the foot of that cross. We'll leave our stuff that is burdensome at the foot of the cross, and we'll find ourselves reborn at the empty tomb. When we get there, back to our starting place, we can assess what stuff we need to leave behind. And we will know that we've made it back home, changed, a different person for Christ. And when we arrive at that ending point, what was our starting point, we then begin a new journey. And that journey is towards life eternal. We want to see Jesus. So the piece I wanted to do for music today, and I will touch on, is one, it's called Now the Green Blade Riseth, and it's written as an interpretation of our scripture today. But then, you know how that Holy Spirit is, man, sometimes I just like to put it in the closet. But sometimes he or she has something to say, and I'm usually most of the time try to listen. And it was brought to my attention that it's a modern song called Open Our Eyes, Lord, and I think you've sung that here. It was written by Robert Call, and he was a musically inclined child. At age 6, he played piano in his parents' church, and he learned to play more than a dozen different instruments. He sang with Maranatha. I always want to say Maranatha, but it's not. Maybe it is Maranatha. It is Maranatha. I just have a typo. Tisk tisk. That was in the article, too, by the way. So, anyway. And so it's also a Christian recording label in addition to other, if you want to learn more about it, it's really interesting how they started. And the label was founded as a nonprofit ministry of Calvary Chapel. And Calvary Chapel is a really an interesting, it's not a really a denomination, it's a gathering, it's the way they gather. And I've known some really fine Christians from that tradition. So he became, Robert Cole became part of a movement in the 60s and 70s. And this movement was trying to address two groups that were troubling, the hippies and the evangelicals. They were trying to keep the church in a mainline Christian community. In 1975 in Hawaii, he was invited to give a one-hour midday solo concert at a parochial school. He arrived early and tried to speak with some of the faculty members. None of them wanted to talk about Jesus. He sat down at the piano before the concert time and thought, all I'm going to do is sing about Jesus. So I will likely bore them to death. But he prayed, Lord, we need to see the real Jesus, and no one here seems to know you. At that time, his song came to mind, and he quickly wrote it down, finishing it in about 10 minutes. And he sang it to the school gathering for the first time. When he later returned home to his church in California, they were already singing it. He doesn't know who brought it there or how it got there, but it was already in the fiber of the movement of the chapel and different churches that we've talked about before, Hillsong and such. So it's one of his most well-known songs. We sing it frequently. Sometimes I sing it in the car. It's short, it's easy. It's easy to remember, and it makes a really good prayer as well. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, to say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. Don't we all want to see Jesus? So let's look at the scripture and investigate that question. Now, among those who went to the worship at the festival were some Greeks, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. See Jesus. What does that mean? Throughout John, Jesus is found presented in a variety of metaphors. Some of them are Lamb of God, Bread of Life, Light of the World, the Good Shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life. Haven't they seen Jesus? Haven't they figured it out yet? We want to see Jesus. Think about it. Each one of us, I know I have, has said, you know, Jesus, I'd really like to see you right now. And then there's just that. And yeah, it'd be really cool if Jesus walked in the back door and came up in front of us and spoke to us. But guess what? He does exactly that. Every single Sunday, he appears each and every time we gather to celebrate the Eucharist. He speaks to us in so many different ways in the context of discipleship. We know what it is that Jesus wants us to do. He told us already, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then in Matthew, we're on a mountain in Galilee, Jesus calls on his followers to make disciples and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. His followers, that's you. And me. In today's gospel, Jesus invites those gathered to see him as the Son of Man who will be glorified, once again alluding to what is coming for him. and he likens us to a grain of wheat. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. We want Jesus to show up for us, but Jesus wants us to show up for him. In these words of Jesus, we're told in no uncertain terms how important it is to follow him. And he likens our journey to the journey of a grain of wheat that falls in the ground, and how we must die to all that comes between us and Jesus. We need to shed all that we hate. We need to be willing to lose the life that we love right here, right now, and gain a new promise of life of the eternal. Dying is not the end. We are buried in the essence of the creation, the deep, dark soil of the earth, to emerge in a new, abundant life full of fruit, full of offering. As Jesus' followers, we die with Christ. We are buried with Christ, and we are resurrected with Christ. So the hymn that I was intentionally, originally going to speak about was one of my favorite resurrection hymns, and it's Now the Green Blade Riseth. And I don't know if we'll get to sing it or not, sometime maybe in the future. Patty, maybe sometime in the future. But the words are, Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain, wheat that in the dark earth many years has lain. Love lives again, that with the dead has been. Love is come again, like wheat that springs up green. In the grave they laid him, love whom he had slain, thinking that he'd never wake to life again. Laid in the earth like grain that sleeps unseen, love has come again, like wheat that springs up green. Up he sprang at Easter, like the risen grain, he that for 3 days in the grave had lain. Up from the dead my risen Lord is seen, love has come again, like wheat that springs up green. When your hearts are saddened, grieving, or in pain, by your touch you call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love has come again, like wheat that springs up green. So I ask, how do you see Jesus? When you're looking for Jesus, where do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus in the everyday, or are you walking around trying to find, like, how many of you know that Pokemon game where these Pokemon things appear out there and you have to catch them? You know, sometimes I think that's how people feel about Jesus. It's like, oh, there's one right there. Click, 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 click. I got him. But it's not like that. Jesus is right here with us right now and everywhere. Everywhere that we walk, everywhere that we rejoice, everywhere that we mourn. And he is with us for every tear that we shed. Amen. So please.